Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live here on this Tuesday. It's Earth Day. The Eagles celebrate in the community. We'll show you a little bit of what the Eagles have done this morning, what they're going to be doing this afternoon across the street at FDR Park. We've got football on our minds, however, today. And so we will get to it. A little draft talk, a little bit of conversation with Lane Johnson, second-year right tackle. He comes back in an entirely different place than he was 1 year ago. And, of course, we take your phone calls. We're getting you teased. We're getting you prepped for the NFL draft, May 8th to May 10th. Complete coverage right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the mobile app. Let's get you caught up on the headlines of the day from South Philadelphia. The conditioning program opens with high hopes here at the NovaCare Complex. And now, there's very limited access to the players. This is not a public conditioning program. But reportedly, everyone present and accounted for, at least nobody who's not here who was supposed to be here. And so I can tell you, great enthusiasm, great energy here at the NovaCare Complex as the players report for year two of the Chip Kelly era. It's Earth Day on this April 22nd, and the Eagles clean up FDR Park across the street. Excellent endeavor this morning and this afternoon. This weekend, the Men's Academy here at the NovaCare Complex, former Eagles John Runyon and Troy Vincent, the keynote speakers. Tickets remain. Fun day. So if you and a buddy want to come down, get online and get your tickets right now. As I said, we've got complete draft coverage starting Monday, May 5. That leads us into the May 8th first round. The Eagles have the 22nd pick in that first round. Of course, last year they used pick number 4 on Lane Johnson, and we'll talk to him in just a little while here. Great pick at number 4, the third offensive tackle to come off the board. I think Lane Johnson outperformed Jokel and Fisher, and the Eagles have just hugely high hopes for Lane this year and in many years to come. The Eagles playing in 2014 against a stacked, as we know, first-place schedule. And Bo Wolf breaks it down today, talking to reporters who cover the Indianapolis Colts and the Arizona Cardinals, two teams on the road. The Eagles are going to have to do quite a job on the road this year to get back to the top of the NFC East.
Thanks, Dave. And as we continue to take a look at the opponents on the Eagles' 2014 schedule and their busy off seasons, we bring in Mike Chappell from the Indianapolis Star to talk about the Indianapolis Colts. And Mike, another busy free agency for the Colts under general manager Ryan Grigson, who we know here in Philadelphia. Tell us about what the Colts have done.
Well, they've tried to address, to me, they're primarily their defensive front seven. They go out to Baltimore and get Arthur Jones, who they view as sort of the movable part in this defense. He can play in tackle. I guess he can play nose tackle. So they really think they've upgraded the defensive line. And then with Cleveland, after Cleveland let DeQuell Jackson go, they signed him, and they think he's going to be a major upgrade inside linebacker. It's not going out on the market, but then they re-signed Vontae Davis, their corner, to a pretty big contract. And that was really their, to me, priority number one. While there's still questions on whether Vontae Davis is an elite corner, if you don't re-sign him, then you've got to go out and sign a corner. So it was more prudent to re-sign your own at a big contract and to go out there and get something you're not really certain of. So they've really done a good job of upgrading a defense that really needed it. The defense just didn't play at a championship caliber last year.
Offensively, the Colts did add a player with whom the Eagles are very familiar, wide receiver Hakeem Nicks. What does he bring to Andrew Luck's offense?
Well, they hope he brings that deep speed. That was another area going into the offseason they had to address. They tried this last year with Darius Haywood-Bey, bringing in a guy who had some hype before, and he brought him in for a one-year contract, and it just didn't work out. It just didn't work. So now they're doing it again with Hakeem Nicks, who's had some exceptional years. Had a down year last year, which I think all the Giants had a down year. Whenever the quarterback struggles, it's surprising how your receivers struggle as well. So they're looking to have him come in and be a factor. We all expect Reggie Wayne to come back from an ACL injury, but he's going to be 35. He is 35. So you've got to look at that position moving forward. Hey, if Hakeem Nicks comes in here and has a really good season, he's going to get a good contract, and maybe that good contract's with the Colts.
With all these holes the Colts have at certain positions, they do not have a first-round pick to address them after the Trent Richardson trade. Months after that trade was made, how do you think the city and the organization views that trade?
The team is committed. At least publicly, they're committed to Trent Richardson. They think that what he needs is a full off season with his team. They brought him in, I'd say roughly like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday last year, and he played to that Sunday. He had very little time to learn the offense, to learn the system. So he was sort of just doing things on the fly, and I thought his play reflected that. I don't think he needs a great season. He just needs a good season. You know, we were joking the other day, it's pretty bad when you hope your running back averages his number, 3.4 instead of 2.9. But that's where we are. If he has a good season and gives them a reliable running attack, this could be a pretty potent offense.
Mike Chappell from the Indianapolis Star breaks down the Colts, who will be looking to make the playoffs for the third time in three seasons with Andrew Luck in 2014. Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it.
And we turn our attention now to the NFC West, to the team with the best record that did not make the playoffs last season, the Arizona Cardinals. And so we bring in Kent Summers from the Arizona Republic. And Kent, what is the next step for this Cardinals team after coming just oh so close to the playoffs last season?
To win one or two more games, which is probably what it's going to take in the league's toughest division. And I think they do that with continued offensive improvement. They made strides over the latter half of the season, went 7-2 down the stretch, but they've got to get better offensively and more efficient in the passing game especially.
And so how do they make those jumps on offense? Obviously Carson Palmer comes back. Not too many free agency moves on the offensive side of the ball, though they did shore up the offensive line, bringing in Jared Valdir.
Yeah, they think, you know, with another year in the system for Carson Palmer, who did show improvement in the latter half of the season and the rest of the offense, too. They think Jared Valdir was a huge signing. They're very excited when the Raiders didn't franchise him and they were able to get him. Jonathan Cooper, the 7th overall pick in last year's draft, comes back from a fractured leg that caused him to miss all of his rookie year. They think they've got more experience on the right side. You know, they got a bunch of candidates to pick from at guard and tackle there. So they think they're going to be better. We'll see, but they're pretty confident they are.
Defensively, Carlos Dansby is gone, but they do bring in Antonio Cromartie. So the pair of Cromartie and Patrick Peterson, you would think, is among at least the most physically impressive tandems of cornerbacks in the league.
Yeah, and it should fit right into the system. Last season, Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator, blitzed more than anybody in the league. It really paid off. It was one of the better defenses in the league. He loves to play man-to-man with those corners. He likes the fact that they're bigger guys. Cromartie's 6'2", Peterson's 6'1". They can get up and be physical with people. So it really fits into the scheme, I think. What they would like to do in the draft is maybe shore up an outside pass rush and add a safety. They've got some weaknesses in the secondary, in the back end, especially with Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, coming off knee surgery. They don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the season. So there's some questions at the very back end, and I think they hope to address it in the draft.
So the Cardinals have the 20th overall pick in the first round. Does that mean you think they're among the teams looking at the likes of Ha-ha Clinton Dix and Calvin Pryor and the top safeties in the draft?
I think so. I think they'd have to look in that direction. I think they could look at, a defensive end that they could bring in and play initially behind Darnell Dockett and Calais Campbell and eventually replace Dockett, who turns 33 next month. I think, you know, they could bring in an outside linebacker. You know, John Abraham at age 35 had 11.5 sacks last year, but they need to get younger and more talented there, too. So I think they could look at that direction. I mean, a month or so out, I would venture that they would go defense there. But, you know, the move they made in free agency, which we talked about before, the left tackle, they picked up a tight end, Ted Ginn Jr., the receiver, picked him up to be their third guy. You know, gave him some freedom and some flexibility as the draft approaches. But I really, if I had to guess now, I'd say they go defense with that 20th overall pick.
Well, after a game that came down to the wire at Lincoln Financial Field last season, the Eagles will travel to play the Cardinals on the road. This season, Kent Somers will break it down as he always does. The man on the Cardinals beat from the Arizona Republic. Thanks for joining us, Kent.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Bo. Good to hear from the Colts and the Cardinals, two teams on the Eagles' schedule this year. Eagles will have to really ramp it up on the road to win 10 games or more in 2014. When we return, Lane Johnson. A year ago, well, it was a whole different scenario for him, going through the pre-draft process, the poking, the prodding, the questions, the concerns. Well, now he's safely ensconced in this Eagles world, and he's done one heck of a job. High hopes for Lane Johnson in 2014. He visits in studio on the other side when we return with Eagles Live in just a moment.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
We welcome you inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Dave Spadaro. With Lane Johnson, who 1 year ago, April 25th, first-round draft pick of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I imagine the whole perspective has changed tremendously for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I feel a lot better coming in now, knowing what to expect and just having a year under my belt, a lot of experience. So it was good for me.
Did you sit around after the season and whether you did it on purpose or not, reflect on the year that you had or everything that transpired?
Yeah, a little bit. Just the whole draft process, not having much time off, and then just going through the year of playing and then finally having a few months off, off season and training. So I got a little bit of time to reflect and then, got back in the weight room and training. So
fourth pick in the draft last year, Lane, and we have video of your reaction. I know you've seen it a bunch of times, but can you give me the play-by-play on you hear your name called and then you rush out and you just bear hug Commissioner Roger Goodell? Premeditated at all when you look back on this thing?
The hug, I mean, it's kind of just
he held on for a while there.
Yeah. Kind of nail in the coffin kind of deal. But, yeah, I mean, it was so much anxiety, I guess, sitting in that room not knowing where you're going to go. You have ideas, but, nothing's in stone until, you get your name called. So it was definitely relief once you got your name called and know where you're going.
How'd the year go for you? How'd you play?
Went good. I had some rookie bumps there in the first half of the year, but I think towards the latter part of the year, I think I played really well.
So you never hit a wall? You never hit a mental wall or a physical wall?
I mean, I got tired. No question about that. But, I felt like I got a lot more rest here than I did in college, so it was good.
When you go into an offseason, they say that year one to year two, players improve the most. Do you now believe that, having all this time off for the first time, and I don't even know how many years for you, that you had actual time to exhale and to really work out and to get fit and to do everything you want to do to prepare for the season?
Yeah, I feel my body's a whole lot, I guess, more rested than it was last year. I feel a lot stronger than what I was last year. I weigh more, most I ever weighed. I just feel physically a lot better. And as far as from a mental aspect, I know what to expect. Nothing's going to catch me off guard, so I feel just a whole lot more prepared coming in.
What is the biggest transition?
Probably just mentally. You're playing against the best of the best week in and week out, in college, sometimes you're not playing all that great of teams and the competition's down, but here, you're playing elite competition, every week. So probably that.
And Stout, when you're working with Stout the first time and
now that you have everything in place, do you expect for your game to take a big jump, Lane?
Yeah, I expect it to. You know, last year, having a new coach, you know, Coach Stout was great for me. And just knowing what to expect from him and, you know, knowing the offense, you know, like the back of my hand now. So I just feel a whole lot better.
What was the playoff experience like? Big difference from regular season game?
Not really. I mean, we're just going, you know, week by week. You don't really.
Didn't change? From the defense. I'm talking about the intensity or the
I mean, it's always pretty intense.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, it's definitely a bigger stage, but, I mean, it wasn't too much of a change.
Cool. What off-season priorities did you have, do you have? Are there specific things you really want to work on?
Lower body strength and just bulking up. You know, I went, got my body checked out, chiropractor, kind of stuff like that, make sure I'm in good balance, everything's good. So did that, you know, worked on my legs, lower body a lot this offseason, gained a little bit of weight. So
good.
Feel good.
Great to get back here and see everybody and say hello. And
Yeah, I missed all the guys, so it was good.
Hey, man, I would imagine last year you come in here and everything's new. Do you feel like a veteran now, Lane? Are you looking forward to this rookie class coming in so you can teach these young boys the way?
Yeah, kind of show them, you know, tell them what to expect and, you know, just help them out, kind of like what some of the veterans did with me.
Your reaction when Jason Peters signed the long-term deal, Jason Kelce gets a new deal, offensive line looks like it's going to be together for a while here.
Yeah, I think when you have, you know, five steady guys, that really helps the football team, so I was excited.
Yeah. Hey, Lane, thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Welcome back to NovaCare. Lane Johnson here at the NovaCare Complex, part of the Eagles offseason conditioning program. We thank you for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
We've got a great opportunity for all Eagles fans. You could announce the Eagles' fourth-round draft pick at Radio City Music Hall on Saturday, May 10th. Just enter to win our Dietz and Watson hashtag Dietz Draft. We want you to show us, are you the ultimate Eagles fan? Just do it. Do it now, right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Well, it's 16 days and counting until the 2014 NFL Draft. And once again, we bring in our Draft Insider, Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net. Tony, hello to you today. We talk about this draft, and people refer to it in glowing terms as far as the depth in the draft. Can you describe to us and explain to us exactly what that means?
Well, I think there are some positions where there's incredible depth. I mean, you look at the receiver position, and it could be a historic draft as far as the depth is concerned. What that means is you're going to have receivers in the second, third, and fourth rounds. Guys in the second round like Paul Richardson of Colorado, Dante Moncrief of Ole Miss. Guys in the fourth round like Brandon Coleman of Rutgers. A fifth-round receiver like Michael Campanaro of Wake Forest, who will have productive NFL careers. They can be productive as rookies coming into the league as either a number three or number four receiver, return specialist. You're going to get good players at the receiver position really through the last day of the draft. That's how deep that position is. I think the offensive tackle position is another area that's very deep. You know, people talk about the top three players, Jake Matthews of Texas A&M, Greg Robinson of Auburn, Taylor Lewan of Michigan. But, you know, really there's a bunch of guys, Morgan Moses in the second round, Cyrus Quanjo of Alabama, who's had a bit of difficulties, two guys out of Tennessee, Juwan James and Antonio Richardson. These guys are legitimate NFL starters at the next level, so you're going to get good talent at the offensive tackle position really through the second, third round. Same thing with the running back position. You know, running back is more of a disposable position, or a seam is more of a disposable position in the NFL now. Still, second, third round area, you're going to be able to get a good number of potential starters or role players that will produce starting with their rookie year in the NFL. So I think in some positions, it's really deep.
Tony, another position that Eagles fans have kind of focused on here is the pass rusher, the outside linebacker in a 3-4. And, you know, it doesn't sound like after those first few picks, Clowney and Barr and Mack, that there's really an impact player. Is there anyone beyond those three or even somebody out of the first round who might project as that kind of impact defensive pass rusher?
A lot of projections. I mean, no one of the elite status of the players that you just mentioned, but a lot of small college defensive ends who project to outside linebacker in a 3-4. DeMarcus Lawrence of Boise State's a good example. A guy who basically lined up in a three-point stance, was a terrific pass rusher. Now in the NFL, in an Philadelphia Eagles type of system, he's going to be asked to stand up over tackle. Marcus Smith of Louisville, a guy who had a terrific career at Louisville, played well at the Senior Bowl at linebacker, showed some skill in space. Again, he's going to have to stand up over tackle at the next level. Jackson Jeffcoat of Texas, in my mind, an underrated guy. Again, a small college defensive end who projects to outside linebacker in a 3-4. You're going to have good players, but they're more projects as opposed to, say, Khalil Mack or Anthony Barr, who are pretty much sure things.
Tony, do you anticipate teams trying to get out of early round picks and pick up more selections in those maybe third and fourth rounds?
I could see teams in the middle of round one where the talent kind of drops off and there's no special talent, maybe moving back to collect extra selections in rounds two or three where they can load up at receiver, where they can get their maybe their feature running back or running back that's going to produce as a rookie. Maybe they can pick up a right tackle who could start as a rookie. So I could see once you get into that middle portion of round one, teams trying to move back to the second or third round, because there's not a huge spread between the 15th player in this draft and the 35th player in this draft. So it makes sense.
Tony, I still want to know, in the NFL, where we all look for that Brian Dawkins type safety, and Dix and Pryor are projected as first round picks, and whether they're there or not for the Eagles, or whether the Eagles are interested, we don't know. Deep draft at all for the safety position, and what in the world is happening to safeties? Why is it so hard to find quality safeties in the NFL?
Well, because it's not a position of priority in college football. So college football, they're looking for defensive ends. They're looking for offensive tackles. They're looking for cornerbacks. That's why, you know, last year you had so many offensive tackles taken at the top of round one. That's why the previous years you've seen record numbers of defensive tackles taken, because that's what college teams are recruiting. Getting back to your question, I mean, as far as a Brian Dawkins type of player, you know, keep an eye. Here's a name to remember, Marcus Juan Huff of Wyoming. He's a big physical guy. He's not NFL ready yet. He needs some polish on his game. He's got experience at both corner and safety. He's explosive. He's fast. He's probably going to go in the fourth, fifth round area, but he's a guy that you can develop down the road and could contribute as a rookie in dime packages and on special teams.
Tony, the after the draft proceedings are always really interesting. The draft rooms close, and all the personnel department, they furiously get on the phone and they try to lock up some of these non-drafted players. In this draft, do you look for more quality even after the draft than in previous years?
Invariably, it's going to happen, especially at the receiver position, which we mentioned earlier. You know, there's going to be some guys who slide out of the draft because there's just not enough room. I mean, historically, there's about 32 receivers taken in a 7-round draft. You could have 40 receivers, 42 receivers taken in this year's draft, and they're still going to be quality players at the position who go unselected. You know, also times you have guys that are highly rated that have injuries, and teams are not just quite sure how their injury situation is going to pan out, so they slip into the undrafted free agent status.
Well, Tony, it's going to be very interesting. We look forward to talking to you the rest of the week, and of course, leading into and through the May 8th to May 10th draft. Tony Paulin, draftinsider.net. We thank you for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
What I I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
Is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Eagles fans, make sure you tune in on Monday, May 5th at 7:30 p.m. It's the finale. The Eagles cheerleaders' final audition show, live broadcast for you here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our mobile app. And the Eagles will get that field from 60 to 38. Really good competition. A lot of deserving young ladies. Good luck to all of them. And make sure you tune in and watch that broadcast from Center City, Philadelphia. News yesterday, Colt Anderson, Eagles safety, signing with the Indianapolis Colts. So we wish him the best of luck and give you a look here at the offseason moves this team has made, those acquired in free agency, and, of course, Darren Sproles acquired in a trade with the New Orleans Saints. Sproles will be a big part of this Eagles offense. Signing elsewhere, Michael Vick, DeSean Jackson, Jason Avant in Carolina, some defensive players, Kurt Coleman, Gathers, Chung, and Anderson. Really interesting. What's going to happen at the safety position, even with the addition of Malcolm Jenkins? Will the Eagles use a draft pick on a safety? And then the players retained, Jeremy Maclin, Riley Cooper, Cedric Thornton, Donnie Jones, and Nate Allen. Speaking of Darren Sproles, we feature his jersey. It's available online. It's available at the Pro Shop at Lincoln Financial Field. And he will look oh so great in that Eagles green number 43. Working in space, working in the passing game, the Eagles plan to use him a lot. Can't wait to see what they do with Darren Sproles in this offense. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thank you for joining us today here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Before we go, though, it's Earth Day, and the Eagles involved in the community always. We take a look over at FDR Park as the Eagles sending out some staff, and this afternoon cheerleaders and Swoop will be out cleaning up FDR Park. It is a beautiful facility. And we take a look at some of the Eagles staff working side by side with those who work in the city, cleaning it up for the kids in a worthy endeavor indeed, as Jen Pavone carries a load of leaves and makes it look pretty over there on this beautiful spring day in South Philadelphia. Good job to all of those out there this morning and to those going out in the afternoon. Lots of work to be done on this Earth Day. Make sure you take care of Mother Earth. And Swoop is, yeah, we're pretty fired up about it. Thanks to all who took part this morning. And thanks to you for joining us here on Eagles Live. We return tomorrow at noon, and we'll have Connor Barwin in studio, Eagles linebacker, talking about year two in the Eagles defense and the improvements expected under coordinator Bill Davis. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.